All right, guys, welcome back. Going into the third hour here of Roleplay Swan Song. Adam, what's up?
Well, let's decide who's fixing the ship. Are you just going to go with the more expensive Sunbeam one?
Well, did I ever get a message back from...
No. No, you have not.
How much was the Sunbeam?
215,000 credits.
Yeah, they'll just add it to our debt. What's that put our debt at? That basically puts us back right where we started with the Swan Song, right?
More than that.
More.
But if you pull this job off, you get 900,000 credits. So
yeah.
Let's see. If we add another 215,000, let's see. Let's get my calculator here. Let me get out my adding machine. So it was originally 94,299 right now, so plus that puts it at 1,157,989 credits.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I guess we, as long as everyone else is okay with that, we just do that.
Okay. So okay, let me re-add this up here. Pleasure doing business with you, Captain. Okay. So basically, they tack it on and they're like, "All right, well, we'll do the repairs for you." And there we go. Okay. And yeah, it'll take them 5 days, which it'll be done, you know, long before you get back. Did somebody record the 35K that you got from the spaceship, or do you want to just put that on the balance right now?
I would say just put that on the balance, if that's okay with everyone else.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right. And I'll throw in this month's maintenance for free, because they're basically replacing all the systems anyway, so we'll just put that as if you'd already paid it.
Gee, okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
No, I mean, I'm serious.
So that's done. Good. Number one, fix the ship. All right. So that's gonna happen. They come and they pick up the Swan Song, but before they do that, I know you have some stuff to do. So you're having your briefing. You've got the data. You got the data pad, and you're on the bridge, I guess, of the ship. And you wanna check out the data that you get.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I imagine the ship itself looks a bit like I don't know, like one of the racing things from Wipeout. You ever play any of the Wipeout games?
Oh yeah, Wipeout's fantastic. Yeah. Great music.
Basically one of those. Yeah, like colored I think probably like pretty brightly, like it's like a bright green with like orange accents, and it's just covered in like ads or logos for various local like ASIN companies, but then also like sector wide concerns. So the ship itself, and I don't think any of you are like, you know, big into hyperboat racing necessarily, but it certainly looks fancy and fast and expensive.
Victor was,
yeah, right. Exactly, it's an ancient Shandalian
fast. Actually, Eric totally is, because he's a mechanic. Okay. He's a mechanic, yeah, and they're like the highest form of like professional or performance motors.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So go ahead and roll a tech...
Post-tech,
I guess, yeah. Because you're looking at the schematics. You've also got, like, you can point to any given part of it, and it'll show you, like, the information. Everywhere all over this documentation, there are watermarks that are, like, do not share, top secret, eyes only. You shouldn't be looking at these.
That's an intelligence check, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay. Woo! 7.
Ugh. Okay. Yeah, there are elements of this vehicle that you didn't even know. Like the engine looks more like a Starship engine than looking at it, you're starting to wonder like what this thing looks like. Like it might go fast enough that it like causes some like weird distortion. Like, it's definitely a strange engine. There's some tech in here that you don't know what it is. Like, you see a part and you're like, what
is it that? Like, would astronautics tell me more about it?
You can make an astronautics check if you want.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm like, I guess I look at it and I'm like, yeah, motors. I know what motors are. And then I open, I'm like, whoa, hang on. Mm-hmm. Let me go get a different textbook. Let's see, where's my astronautics? There it is. I'm better at astronautics.
Meow.
I know. I got a 10.
Damn.
Yeah, so once you kind of switch your brain to like, what if I was looking at a spaceship? You actually start to recognize like elements of the chassis remind you of like a starfighter. And the engine, yeah, seems to be a hybrid of like a hover vehicle and a space fighter. There's some component here that reminds you of like a drive core. There's like a big like a energy kind of like ball in the middle of the engine. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this thing just looking at the schematics, it's fast as hell. Like this is unreasonably fast. It's a dangerous looking vehicle, but it's you can see why someone would want to steal it.
Do I know that this is like non-standard for hoverboats, hyperboats,
hyperboat racing? Yeah, totally.
Okay, yeah, cool. So they've got like a non-standard astronautics engine on their boat. Cool.
Yeah, it's certainly not like space capable, but this thing is gonna rip.
Does my 10 tell me who the manufacturer was? Or like reduce the list to like a couple of the major brands or whatever?
Maybe. It definitely isn't Sunbeam crafted. You can tell that. Sunbeam is more about like mass produced stuff than one offs.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take a look at the sector here and see if there are any astronautics companies that you might recognize.
You said it was not Sunbeam.
No, definitely not Sunbeam.
Yeah. I mean, this would be like, you know, is it Jaguar? Is it Ferrari? Is it Ford? Is it, you know, et cetera?
It looks like it uses bits and pieces of, of what look like maybe Ximenez technology,
mm-hmm.
Some of their proprietary stuff, because they always did like weird experimental ships.
Cool.
But it looks like it's all been retrofitted. Like it came from like an abandoned Ximenez facility or something. But somebody else put this together. There's a lot of proprietary stuff that you don't recognize.
Yeah.
But you do notice that on the ship's internal like nav system, the thing that like keeps the UI operating at the same speed as the drive engine, one of the parts, and we see you maybe like zoom in on the part in the schematic and you turn it around. It's got the unmistakable little like beaker and R symbol of the of Richardson Scientific. So they designed part of the computer system.
Super cool. Yeah, I'm like going over this. I'm like muttering to myself. I like, oh, wow, it's definitely not Sunbeam. It's pieces of Ximenez, but they're never put together in this configuration. Usually I don't know the manufacturer associated with this. Maybe there's someone new entering the market. Oh, what's this? Richardson Scientific. Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Richardson doesn't make vehicles. Like, that's just not their jam.
Yeah. Well, I guess like having a computer system. I mean, is it like the navigation computer or like the trajectory calculation system or something like that?
So in a hyperboats travel at such a high velocity that you have to have a predictive engine that can look several seconds into the future to be like, if you turn left now, even though there's, you know, like a wall to your left, everything will, your brain will respond fast enough to turn the ship to the left. So it kind of gives the user like prompts.
Yeah.
So the predictive wiring system in the ship was a Richardson project.
Yeah. You know, some people even question why human drivers are still used in hyperboat racing at all. But I find that the human element allows it to feel more weighted in reality and a lot more interesting for the pathos of the outcome of the races.
And also, and Higgs, you know this, and also, when a hyperboat crashes into a wall going like several thousand kilometers an hour, it feels more satisfying knowing there's a person in there exploring.
Yeah,
people are all about that shit.
Sure.
Damn.
Hyperboat racer funerals are some of the biggest like social events on ASA, especially if they explode in a really cool way.
Awesome.
Okay.
So contained in the information packet as well, on top of all that other stuff, is the stuff that Moses Jones, Kira's former manager, managed to come away with. So there's credentials. There's like access credentials to the hangar that she's keeping the ship in. And the credentials are like generic, kind of like your tickets, generically like faked credentials or stolen and cleared for a like a maintenance team. So the idea here is that he has maintenance team credentials for you to go and visit and like get close enough to the ship to ostensibly see it and steal it. There's location information, like where the hangar is, kind of how you can get at it that way. There's a dossier on Kira Ngazi, like talking about her particularly. And then just general stuff about the current hyperboat racing like situation. Ngazi has hired some mercenaries to protect the vehicle, to look after her. So she has like a bodyguard and a security team. And then any other information you might want to ask about her or about the thing, you can ask me, and it's probably in the dossier.
What's her first name again?
Kira.
Kira.
Kira. K-I-R-A.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, where do you guys want to start?
Mm-hmm.
What is the exact facility that this place is being held at? Or this thing is being held at, rather?
Yeah, so there's a city. There's a city on Aesa. There's a bunch of them, because Aesa is a water planet, so these are like floating cities. And I'm going to find a name for it. It's called... Let's see. No, you know what? I'm just going to straight up steal it from Texas. It's called Alamo City. And Alamo City has a racetrack. The Alamo City racetrack is where these qualifiers are being held. The city's pretty much like built around the track, so the track kind of goes like through the city and like around it. And there's like facilities all along the track where people can go to like watch, you know, the 4 seconds of the car going by, and they can hang out and drink beer while that's happening. And then there's like a main facility where they hold the big like the event itself. So this is where the racers would get the champagne poured all over them. And so her facility, she has like a pit crew that operates out of a like a shop basically that's in that city somewhere, just like in part of it. But the whole town is basically built around its racing like culture.
Okay.
Yeah. The great irony, and I just realized this about naming it Alamo City, is that because it's thousands of years in the future, everyone's lost context for why it's named that. They've literally forgotten the Alamo. So, it happened. I'm sorry.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
It's just, that's how it goes. But yeah, so you know, I don't know, maybe you've been there before. That's your history with hyperboat racing is totally on you to decide if you like.
Okay. Does it have any sense of like the security that we'll be up against?
Yeah, she's got a Fotenhauer contract with the society, so there'll be, you know, like a dozen highly trained mercenaries. And then there's also like event security provided by the Aesin like government.
Okay. Trying to think of other questions that would help.
Yeah.
Kind of what I'm wondering, just in a meta game sort of way, is if there are local drivers who might be interested in, like, you know, maybe they want to drive off with this thing to get the chance to feel it, to, like, you know, I don't know. Maybe we could find someone else who's kind of sympathetic to our cause and rope them in. A
patsy, if you will.
Yeah, a patsy. And then the other thing I was, oh, yeah, of course. Well, obviously what we should be aiming for is to actually escape with this vehicle by driving it. So, you know.
I guess that's the other thing that's in the information is that there is a Madari safe house or like a location marked on the city's map. where, like, once you have the vehicle, take it there and then let them know, and then they'll send a ship for you.
I think Steven brings up a great point, though, before we even get to that, like, we should know what exactly our plan is for that.
Yeah.
Also, I just realized I never did the pie stuff in low power. But
yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that before you go.
Yeah, we haven't left the planet yet. We're still
Going over the right. Okay.
Yeah. What about like if Alpharius was in the cockpit of this thing, would he be able to pilot this?
You have a appropriate piloting skill, right? I think yeah.
I have. So there's actually vehicle/water.
Technically, these aren't water vehicles. They're like hover vehicles because they're not in the water. It's not actually a boat. It's a hyper boat. It's so fast it doesn't even touch the water. But you could use. Well, you could use.
Is there even anything in this like space future that like that sounds like a water vehicle to me?
Listen, vehicles water would be like if you're on like a TL3 planet or a TL2 planet and you need to like boat. Rig up a sailing boat. That's what it's for.
I'm a fantastic space pilot, guys.
Yeah.
Does it say if it has like any countermeasures or like what? How do you start this? Does it have an ignition? Does it have a key? Does it have a passcode? Like,
generally they have like it doesn't have details about the security system of the ship. Those are installed aftermarket by the pilot because depending on how much security the pilot has, sometimes it's just a key, sometimes it's like a thumb scan. Everybody has like a different way to do that. Some people, they just take the spark plugs out and go, like, that you can't operate it without them. So
what if we went in as, what if we got, I'll do this in character, I guess. So I like I read over all the stuff. Yeah. I throw the data pad down.
Do you have like little glasses on?
No, well, maybe in your head I do.
Fair.
I was going to say yes, but I think maybe in your head I do. So I put it all down. I'm like, all right, here's my proposal. We go in. Piani's going to make some fake documents because, let's be honest, she's pretty good at that. Piani, don't be upset. You're good at it, all right? You're going to listen to the story. You make up some fake documents. Myself, Piani, and Eric are part of a crew. We've been racing for a long time. We got a new driver with us. That's where Alpharius comes in. He's the new driver. He was actually in an accident, and he had to rebuild himself. So he's coming back to the race for the first time.
Okay. Is that legal? Is it legal to race with modifications? Just, you know, kind of important detail, I guess.
I think it's been done, right? Sure.
Would you say they rebuilt him? Made him better, faster, stronger?
Perhaps. That's the train leaving. Steven, can you please get on it?
Yeah, no problem.
Please get on it.
That's a
loud one. Holy shit, it's about to drive into your fucking room.
I would laugh so bad if a train just came through my mind.
Well, there's a first for you. Put that on your Wikipedia page. First man killed on stream by a train.
Yeah. So, we actually, hold on. I guess I do have a vehicle. Oh, yeah. Is this considered a grav vehicle?
It is, yeah.
Oh.
Higgins is the driver.
Oh, God.
Way back when in episode one, I put a point in vehicle grav.
You did.
Knowing that hyperboating would come into play.
42 weeks later that I would be able to drive.
Well, after the false start with the hover tank, I feel like we've finally made it. Maybe.
Okay, so I continue. I say, okay, so Alpharius, he's the returning driver. And here's where it gets fun. We get in there. We take a look at the ship somehow. We'll figure that out in real time. We get in there. Alpharius jumps in. And he takes it. We meet up with him somewhere. We play dumb. We don't know what happened. We did all our background checks on this guy, but Alpharius got a mind of his own, and he just takes and drives off. And then we act like we're going to deal with it, and then we just disappear.
Hmm. It's an interesting plan. I wonder if we should make certain that our credentials check out really thoroughly. The hyperboat racing is a fairly contained scene. So there will probably be some people who wonder where we've come from.
Well, we can be like the people that we're the foreigners of the scene, okay? They've never met people like us. You guys all got to do accents.
Adam, do I know any like backwater place that's like just recently gotten into hyperboat racing? It's got like a fourth tier team or something like that. But like maybe like because it's become popular there, it makes sense to have like a random team of mechanics coming out of it.
Yeah, make a
knowledge of hyperboat.
Make check. a culture ASA. Hyperboating is a deep part of ASIN culture.
Do I get a minus one on that?
You get whatever your normal not having that skill penalty is.
Yep, sounds good. So that'd be that. And then what? Intelligence?
Yeah, intelligence.
Okay. Cancels that out, so that's fine. Nailed it.
Nope. You could call to mind the like top 10 drivers of the last season, but
yeah,
you know, it takes a lot. You got to get a lot of money. Like, it's an expensive sport to be a part of.
Small teams
don't usually exist. Usually what happens is like a corporation will find someone who's like a real shit hot driver and they'll sponsor them, and then they'll get to be a big deal.
Hot shit driver.
Yeah. Well, I think Alpharius will have no problem. I mean, you can make yourself look like a hot shit driver, couldn't you? You got enough gizmos on your person. You can put some flames on there, because that always makes the car go faster.
That's true. I'm
sure it should be fine.
We should paint it red.
We're not going to paint the... Why would the fuck would we paint the car, Eric?
Red makes it go faster.
That'll actually devalue the car. That's a stupid idea.
Oh, true.
We got to... This is... I look at Peony, I'm like, you got to make some good documentation.
So the docs you have right now are like actual legitimate like pit crew, like maintenance crew documents. So you can use those.
That we made early?
No, you got them from, they were part of her manager basically was like, okay, we have credentials for a pit crew here. Just like fill out your name.
So what do I need to do?
You got to make sure that our names are attached to that, so I guess you can write our names, because I didn't know those were already made for us. Need to make sure that we got a backstory somewhere, so maybe we've been racing on another planet or something. I don't know. Maybe in a different league. Are there multiple leagues for this thing? I look in the documentation. Does it say anything about what league this is?
Yeah, so there's just the one main...
Or anything like that?
There's the one main hyperboat racing circuit. There are qualifiers that happen throughout the sector, because some other planets where ASIN culture is like a thing have races. And then the big one, there's a couple of qualifiers, and then the last big race is on ASA. And it's all part of the same organization. But you could theoretically have come from like a smaller planet. But the thing is, you'd have to like get rid of their existing team. Right, like if there is a team coming from another planet, you have to be like, you have to waylay them or something.
That fucking Scooby-Doo episode where we just like burlap sack them and put them in the garage and stroll out.
Jump into a closet, jump back out with their clothes on.
I mean, that's not the worst thing to just replace a crew. How many people would we have to replace, Adam?
Well, there's the pilot, the actual driver of the vehicle. Usually the pilot has a manager. And then there's the pit crew. And sometimes like a real good pilot will have like a hand-picked crew. But like a shitty one will just have like a pit crew head. And then they'll pick from mechanics. Because there's always like people waiting to be like, oh, pick me. I'm a great mechanic. I'm going to help you out. And like, you know, whatever. And that's how they get to be one of those hand-picked ones. So there's always like up-and-comers or people that, you know, they're waiting to get on a team.
So we got a hand-picked crew. And I guess we'll probably need some other people to go along with this. Because there's more than three people on a pit crew, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
How many more people would we have to recruit to make it into an official pit crew?
The crew is usually like a...
Oh, hold on. That's actually a bad idea. So what? Why don't we just... What? Okay. Keanu, here's what you got to do. You need to get our names and our driver onto an existing crew to replace the other ones.
Yep.
The hard part's going to be getting the driver there, because the driver's, of course, going to want to drive, but Alfarius has to drive. Or maybe he doesn't, and this is somehow days before the event. Alfarius is going in there to check out the new vehicle, and he's the one that they think's the actual driver, but we just got to make sure that they think he's the actual driver.
So as far as time goes, just to make sure y'all are on the same thing, so you'll arrive with about a week before the Northern Sector qualifiers. The reason that's important is because the qualifiers are the first time that anyone has seen Ngazai's new ship, right? She's been racing with a different ship. If people see the ship, it's going to be much harder to steal it after the fact, but if you can swipe it before the race, it'll be a lot easier on you.
That's we're trying to swipe it before, because...
Yeah, yeah. Just to give you an idea of the timeline, like, you'll get there with about a week, like 5 days local to get it done.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I feel like with Eric's longstanding passion for hyperboat racing and also his knowledge of astronautics, it's actually plausible that he could pose as like a specialty mechanic brought in from off-world to specifically, you know, look after the unique mechanisms of this new hyperboat.
Yep.
And I think that that's why we're trying to go into this facility early is we've got Eric, we've got the driver with us. We want to see the...
Now, so, yeah, I think, Eric thinks about it for a second. He says, now, Kira Ngaza is actually a very famous hyperboat driver, so nobody will think that Alfarius is Kira, but perhaps he could be a specialty driver from the manufacturer and... simply be working with me as the specialty mechanic from the manufacturer to verify the systems.
Oh, I mean, it's not the worst idea. I think the biggest thing... I feel like the first thing is we just got to get there. We got to get into facility. Once we get in there, we can kind of just roll with it. Make sure that we get... whoever's going to pilot it, to steal it, and whoever's doing that, they got to have some different old identity, because that person's going to be hunted till the ends of the fucking galaxy. So we need to make sure that person looks completely different or is completely different from their actual self. So whether that's me or Eric, it doesn't matter. Or sorry, Alfarius, it doesn't matter. We just got to make that decision. But I think we kind of have a good idea. Make Piani... fill out these forms and do anything else we need. How long does it say it'll take to get there?
From here to there, like 3 days. You'll be in transit.
3 days?
Yeah, it's a 3-day trip. You have like essentially like first class tickets on a space liner going from here to ASA.
Okay.
What do you want me to do then?
I mean, I don't know if you need anything right now.
Okay.
We don't have any idea what the facility is, right? Other than that it's a facility. Like, could we get documents?
Where she's keeping the vehicle and stuff now.
Yeah.
No, it's like a secure facility. You can assume some stuff about it. Like, it requires certain tools and a certain amount of space and, you know, basic stuff, plus whatever mysterious equipment would be required to maintain an engine like this. But other than that, no. No, you wouldn't know.
Well, I guess you can make an entire backstory for Alfarius Piani. Like different newspaper clippings and stuff like that.
Yeah, I actually was thinking about that earlier. Like, effectively, since it's not like I can go, you know, put history somewhere, like, could I maybe try to fudge some results that, like, locally, if someone looked up, then they would find that, or...
You can go edit up a Wikipedia page?
I mean, right, like, that. It would have to be something local to the... Yeah.
I mean, sure, that's a thing you could do, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to tell me what fake information you want to put out there into the world.
Well, we agreed that that he's going to be the driver, that he has obviously won something to get here. So can we just, like, falsify a result that if anyone was to actually check, they would be like, oh, this guy won this.
You want to make some, like, fake news posts or whatever?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah, that's fine. That's a thing you could probably do.
Edit Spacepedia.
Yeah, well, there's that, and there's also just, like, spreading rumors, right, and being like, oh, this guy did this thing. And, like, it takes a long time to check on things other than locally, so, yeah. You know, even if you wanted to be like, well, let me call your boss on this planet, it'd be like, I'll just call them. Come back in a week. Maybe they'll have called me back.
Right.
Yeah, isolated cons are easier to pull off, for sure.
Right. That's what I want to do. The local con.
Okay, so you'd probably have to wait to get to ASA to do to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Do I need to do low power then?
Yeah, let's do that. So you want to shut Pi down temporarily?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you're in the core. Pi is kind of like walking you through the various switches to pull. I think at one point, Pi says to you, sort of like as you're approaching the end of the process, Pi is like, do you think that time will pass for me while I'm in low power mode?
Of course.
Interesting.
Do you think it wouldn't?
I'm not sure. So much of my faculties rely on a great deal of power, processing energy. I suppose I just don't know, like, what'll be left over.
If I go to sleep, time still passes. I cannot hack computers or make fake documents for Higgs, but I'm still here. It's the same thing. Just maybe for a longer period of time.
Do you think I'll dream?
I hope you do. And you tell me what you dreamed.
I will. It's going to be difficult for me. I hope the time goes quickly. I'll be worried about you.
I'll be worried about you too, Pi. But that's why we have to do this. Just to make sure everything will be safe as the ship gets repaired.
Take care of Alpharius and the captain, and Eric, even though he doesn't like me.
I think Eric likes you just fine, but I'll take care of the crew as much as I possibly can, and I'm sure they'll take care of me.
Well, I suppose this is it.
All right, I'll see you on the other side. Night-night.
Daisy.
Yeah.
What are you doing me your answer to?
Okay. Yeah, so you activate the shutdown. And Pi goes into sleepy times mode.
So can I also just put maybe one additional layer of security on top of this? Like maybe a roll to see if I can.
Yeah, to obfuscate the fact that it's running in low power mode. Do you want to, like, mask it as something else?
And also, if someone were going to come in and just try to be like, well, let me just see if I can poke around in here, it's like there's no fucking way they'd be able to.
Yeah, for sure. So you're putting the password lock on and all that stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, make a computer roll. And I will make a note of your level of success.
A 10.
Oh, nice. Good stuff. Okay. So computer, hide Pi 10. Okay, cool. Got it. Thank you. Okay. Cool. So, yeah, so you shut it down, and I think across the board, like, in the ship, everybody, like, gets a second where the lights, like, flicker slightly. I think that we find Higgs. Where are you, Higgs, at this moment?
I guess we kind of split up, so I'd probably be at my
yeah, like, everybody's, like, packing and, like, getting ready for the trip.
Yeah.
Okay. The little, like, red light indicator thing on your compad that you have, like, an email or a message starts to blink.
Okay. Yeah, I'd swipe it or whatever as I'm packing.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, it's a text. It's an encrypted text. The source is unlisted. It basically says... it just says, Higgins... Be careful. I don't think you're as supported as you think you are. And then the signature is just like a supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I probably just like shrug and just close it and move on.
What's new?
Yeah. It's new. It's fine. Okay.
Yeah. And then, I don't make any mention. There was... Obviously, I couldn't tell the sender or anything like that.
No.
Okay, yeah. I just keep packing.
Okay, cool. Well, we can probably cut to, like, being on the ship. Or we can, like, montage, like, a couple of quick sequences as you're, like, what prep is there that needs to be done between here and when you land on Asa? Like, anything? Or is it just you just living it up probably in first class?
No, probably also just, like, solidifying the backstories, you know?
Mm-hmm. Alpharius is watching a lot of, for the first time ever, Hyperboat videos.
Yeah? Cool, okay.
And he's man.
On his Western accent.
I think Eric sees you watching some Hyperboat videos once, and he's like, oh, Alpharius, here, I'll send you my collection. And then you just get, like, a 4.23 terabyte, like, email right. attachment. It's, like, 800... thousand
well and like obsessively meta tagged and stuff right
yeah
and,
like, yeah yeah like yeah. crazily classified and like cross-referenced and they're all incredibly dry mechanics sort of over
like, are you watching these videos with your like holographic beard projector so there's like little hyperboats flying around your head
yep I was just like sitting in my room with it dark and like watching this like very studious like he's super fucking serious
yeah
and he gets this email notification as console so he goes over there and sees the size of it
sweet
and then just is like if you're walking by you can just hear him say, what the fuck responds like thanks
okay
Mr. Higgins do you think it would be a good idea to seed the idea among the passengers on this ship that we are who we are going to be claiming we are when we land?
Well, how you want to do that?
Well, I'm not so good at convincing people of things. But I figured if Alpharius is supposed to be some kind of secret famous hyperboat driver, and I'm supposed to be some kind of secret famous hyperboat mechanic, then maybe there's some way to put that mind into the... Put that idea into the minds of some of our companions on ship, and then... It will generate some natural-seeming buzz about our arrival when we get to the ASA.
Okay, well, why don't we have, Piani, why don't you say you got to check the ship first to make sure we can get on there undetected and unmobbed?
The ship that we're about to leave on?
Yeah, but I'm saying in person, you know, make a scene about it.
And it's possible. And then I'll
follow your lead.
So here's something that's worth when you're coming up with your like persona or whatever. So there's a degree of theatricality to the way that racing works. So it's not just NASCAR. There's like a little bit of kind of like wrestling stuff going on too, where like the reason why people love racers is because they're such big personalities, and they're thus like marketable and like you know they can make action figures out of them and T-shirts with their picture and shit. So each like racer has their own kind of like gimmick. Kira's gimmick is that she's like a brand new kind of up and comer No one knows about her. She's like a mystery, right?
She's the new face.
Yeah, she's new, exactly. And she'll have to, like, you know, evolve that as she goes. But for now, that's her shtick. She's never been in, like, a big race before, so.
Okay, wait. Here's what we need to do. We need to book a dinner at the fanciest restaurant on board the ship for the second evening, and we need to make it clear who's going to be there. And then we need to somehow send anonymous tips to the fans of Hyperboat Racing who are already on board the ship. Yeah, I mean the lower class fans, the ones who are going to mob us, the ones who are going to make a scene. And then when Alpharius comes on board, he can be, well, I don't know, Alpharius, how do you want to be with people? Do you want to ignore them and act like a complete dick?
Yeah, are you a heel?
Yeah. I think Alpharius would do well with that role.
You got nothing from Jeff. No input.
Just nothing at all.
Am I even there?
Yeah, I mean, you can be. I assume these conversations are happening over time, and like maybe you're in the first class lounge around a bunch of other people. The brilliant colors of drive space.
He's just a speed racer.
Oh, Ferris is not a decision maker, so he just kind of looks at Higgins when someone sits like.
Well, I mean, people like it when you're a little bit of a dick, but don't be too much of a dick, Alpharius.
No. Hyperboat fans will love it. You need to be a huge dick.
Okay, I mean, I didn't read that part of the dossier, but yeah, be a huge
dick. He's kind of like looking at the two of you and saying, like, do you have any reference materials, perhaps?
Oh, yes. That's in my other hard drive.
You have reference materials for huge dicks.
Yes. I have 6.23 terabytes worth of hard drive material on huge dickery.
Send from, me all of the huge dicks that you have
from Hyperboat Racers.
I want to know everything about huge dicks. Alpharius just wants to cram as much about huge dicks as he can.
Yeah.
Am to become this huge dick, as you say, I will probably need to read up and be exposed to as many huge dicks as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And we only have 2 days travel time, so that's going to be a lot of
dick. I support you in your quest.
So you're going to study all of the like material about these kind of like bad guy racers? That's the plan?
If it helps Adam just as a mental picture, like just mouth open, just hot dogs, just...
I don't know how
source material
that GIF with it's,
you know, not necessarily catching all of them in the mouth, but just some.
So one of the most, and he's still racing. He's kind of like considered sort of an old timer, but one of the most like kind of evil of the racer personas is an Oninsen racer. He's old Oninsen, so.
He left
Oninsa to become a racer when the planet's like civil war started. He wanted to get away, and some say he like turned his family over for money to like race, turn him over to the royal family. And he goes under the name El Gato Caliente, and he wears like a Lucador mask with little cat ears, and everyone fucking hates this guy. Like, he's just the worst. So he's the kind of like the biggest known heel in the circuit. And so you do well to study him. He's actually going to be on in this race.
El Gato Caliente. Yeah. I guess another thing is going to be your look, Alpharius. You know, you got to look the part. It's important that you have a really striking appearance. So choose something for your hair and your beard that everybody will remember.
I think,
and either hate or love.
He presents a few different designs. He's actually already thought of that, and it's nice. It's a racer suit, but also his hair, and it's all stylized as sharp edges falling backwards as if he's running very, very fast.
Sweet.
So like the collar's going back, the shoulders are going back. There's like
so you wings, wanna you wanna
winged pants going back.
I love the idea of Alpharius like drawing his like superhero. He's like supervillain suit. Like, yeah, it's gotta be, and with the wings on the back, and like you're like. Because the ship would have like a 3D printer that people could use. So you're like using like hovering over the printer, and we get like the montage of like Eric and Higgs and Piani.
Those glasses that have like winged frames going back.
Watching you try on different variations of the suit and being like, back to the drawing board. I love it. 3 days is a perfect amount of time to build up your evil racer persona.
Yep.
And then are you gonna like Eric said, is who's supposed to be his like manager? Who's the guy that would be like talking him up?
I think that's Mr. Higgins.
Very clearly, Mr. Higgins. Yeah,
that's fine.
Okay. That could be all right. So Higgs, are you gonna start like spreading the word about the famous? And also, do you have a name for your racer?
What is did Jeff have a name? Or are you saying you want me to create the name for Jeff?
or anybody, like as a group, what do you come up with as the name for your cyborg villain?
What about Nefarious?
Nefarious?
The Iron Douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Biggus Dickus.
I feel like the name should be something that would stick in people's minds. Maybe Timothy Lefarious Nefarious.
Trying to find. I have a name in mind, but I gotta find it, and I don't know where the tweet was.
Adam Dickenbacher.
It's going deep.
Adam might know what I'm talking about. I just gotta find it.
Orville Dickenbacher.
Okay.
I mean, I would have gone with Orville Redenbastard, but that's good too.
He said Oral B. Dickenbacher.
Okay.
Zakarian's name is Brumpo Tungus.
That has a good ring to it as well.
Yeah, okay. Tungus. All right.
I love it.
I vote for Brumpo Tungus.
Brumpo Tungus.
Brumpo Tungus it is.
All right.
And here's the inspiration for that right there.
Everybody loves to hate a Tungus.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. All right, Brumbo.
Brumbo Perfect. Tungus.
Yeah. It's said that Brumbo Tungus died and went to hell, but was too evil for hell and was returned to life to join the speed circuit.
Yep.
All right. Perfect. I'm into it.
Brumbo.
He challenged the devil to a race to see if he would die or not, and the devil lost, so now he's back.
The only man to ever beat the devil in a hyper race. And this is real well with the Aeson crowd. They're in. I like it.
His crew, aka us, we're called the Tungi.
Yeah.
That's what
Sacred Tungi.
So Brumpo Tungus and the Tungi.
Or the Tongue Jaggers.
Brumbo.
That's what we're called at the after hours parties.
I want to make sure like we actually spend at least 3 hours of the trip talking about this and discussing it and heated arguments.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
arguments
about what people would think was scary.
We've got names crossed out on the board, like Shaloopin' Boopin' and
you got a whiteboard in one of the rooms, crossing names off, lots of drawing and stuff on. I love
And then the last scene. Yeah, the last scene in the the last frame in the scene is me just circling Brumpo Tungus in red. I just point to it.
The devil Brumpo Tungus.
I think the rest Brumpo of us are Tungus. Standing around in lab coats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very nice. All right, cool. So you have your persona set up. Do you want to make a let's make a roll. Let me look at my options here for just spreading the word that Brumpo Tungus is on board and should be avoided at all costs. I heard he ate a man's face for looking at him wrong. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look here. I feel like this is probably... because you're basically just making a con, right? You're spreading the word. So maybe culture... culture criminal would do it, because you're not persuading an individual person. Yeah, I think it's definitely a culture role because you're trying to influence the culture. So, culture ASA I think would work in this case.
Okay, I have a zero on that based off of charisma.
Charisma, yep.
Zero.
2, 6, +1. 8.
All right, cool. So word starts to spread.
I want to re-roll that actually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you can. You got one accession. So.
Fuck.
Okay. You keep.
We'll
you
be
keep
taking the 8, Adam.
Yeah, I would say you keep the better of the two. So, okay, cool. So, yeah, I think that you start to notice Alfarious before where people would just
hang on. We'll take the 11. Sorry. Go ahead.
Where people would normally just avoid looking at you, or they look at you the way they normally would. They'd be like, "Oh, weird. That guy's got cybernetic implants," or move away from you in the hallway. Now you have people after a few days, on the third day, people are just hiding from you as you come in the hallway, and you hear a lot of whispering, like, that's Botungus, that's Botungus. Oh my god, like, look out, like, women picking up their babies and, like, running away in Seven. Just, like, the fear of Darth Tungus is really, like, spreading on the ship.
As it should.
Totally, yeah, yeah. So I think that the last day, I think this is what we get. So we get a scene unless y'all have anything to do still on the yacht as you arrive.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, there's a short scene where we see the outside of like the VIP suite of the ship, we come in through the door and we see. Pacing back and forth like a shadowy figure. It's like dark. We can see space outside. There's a shadowy figure pacing back and forth angrily. And then there's like a toady kind of figure, like wringing his hands, and they're speaking Spanish. And the pacing figure stops and turns. And we just kind of see his eyes reflected in the light. And he says in Spanish, we get the subtitles. He's like, "Why didn't you tell me Brumpo Tungus was on board?" And the guy's like, I'm sorry, El Gato. I'm sorry. I didn't know. And then we see, like, as you come out of drive space, the blue sphere of Asa illuminates the, of course, shirtless, masked figure of El Gato Caliente. And he turns angrily at his toady and he's like, "It doesn't matter. I'll destroy him on the track." And then we cut to like a spaceport down on Asa. So we see the floating city, and you can see the like glowing blue track that kind of like weaves its way all around the city. It's like an integral part of the city's infrastructure. And we pull into a spaceport, and we see like a big concrete statue, like probably like as big as the Jesus of Rio statue. And he's like got his hands out, and he's wearing like long ceremonial robes, but he's also got like a ratty baseball cap on. He's got like long hair and a beard. And there's this spaceport built around this statue. And as you pull in, we get the subtitles that say, Planet Asa, coal trickle, interplanetary spaceport. And then we see the yacht like come flying in, and it's like landing gear starting to extend out of the bottom as it lands on the planet. So people start to come out as the landing. It's sort of like a yacht or a cruise ship. So it's got these like landing platforms that come down, and people are starting to pour off of the ship, and everybody's really excited. There's a lot of like noise in the air. It's basically like a week long party leading up to the event. So there's lots of sounds of horns in the background and crowds bustling around. Lots of vendors. There's like balloons kind of tied on every surface, and then we see the four of you emerge from the ship. Onto Asa, and immediately you smell the unmistakable scent of like the Asan Sea, some several hundred kilometers below the city, kind of drifting up to you. The air up here is like a little cold, very clear, and the whole place is just like obviously in the middle of being very excited about the event. And I imagine for you, Eric, like it's hard not to get caught up in that. Have you been to a hyperboat race this big before?
Probably not. Like I've probably been to some of like the smaller circuits or whatever, and like, okay. But they never really have the real teams. So I've got like magazines like stacked in my like dorm room when I'm at university, and it's like all the major teams. And then I'm like at the track at like some minor league place, and like. None of the major teams are there. It's just like, KTRM and, something stupid. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So, you emerge out into the crowd. Where are you headed? It's like midday. Sun is shining.
We know where the facility's at, right?
There's a bunch of like relevant facilities. There's the racer registration facility where you'll need to go if you want to register your team. There's her like Kira Ngazai's like actual place where her ship is supposedly at. And then there's several hotels, big and small, all around the city.
We'll check into the most prestigious hotel.
Yeah.
Okay. Where I guess where all of the top racers are staying.
Okay. All right. Sure. So yeah, that's a perfect thing we can cut to. We get the diagonal wipe to you walking into the inside room of a the lobby of a big hotel. It's kitted out in traditional ASIN fashion, which means like a bar as long as the entire side of one of the buildings, with hundreds of variations of brown liquor behind it. All kinds of out of context, sort of old timey, Wild Westy looking stuff. But placed here with a kind of reverence. Like, this is not a dive bar or like a honky tonk. It's an upscale, expensive hotel. It just happens to have the trappings of kind of like what we would see as a sort of a crappy Western bar. And you're immediately met as you enter by a man in blue jeans and I think like a butler's coat, but in blue denim. And he comes up and he says, can I take your bags, sir? And he kind of doesn't know who to look at, like who's in charge. He's waiting for somebody to kind of take the lead.
I turn around and grab Brumpo's bags.
Mr.
Well, I wasn't carrying him, yeah.
Yeah, if he has any, I grab and turn around and grab him. But if he's not carrying them, I say, yes, please. We're here to check in. Where do we go to do that?
He takes your bags and he loads them onto a little hover cart, this like brass hover cart that he has following him. And he says, if you'll follow me this way. And he walks up to the front desk, which is basically just like a polished wooden surface sitting on top of a bunch of hay bales. And you walk up and there's a woman there. She has a gingham like dress on, and her hair in pigtails. And when you come up, she says, well, welcome, y'all.
Constantly sighing and like looking back. I have sunglasses on, so you can't see, but I'm rolling my eyes over and over again, just kind of looking around.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does she say?
She said, welcome, y'all. You have a reservation?
Yes, we're, this is Brumpo Tungus. We're here to check in.
She looks at you, and there's just kind of like a squint, and she's like, well, I'm charmed, Mr. Tungus. Let me just look up your reservations. And she starts like typing away. Now, obviously, the hotel doesn't have reservations for Brumpo Tungus, but if you'd like to, Piani, flashback to planting false reservations, that's a thing you could have done.
I mean, did Higgs ask me to do it?
You chose to have done that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, because we talked about how, like,
you're going to do some prep. Hacked some fantastic reservations for us.
If you didn't, I had already planned for a way to get in, so it's totally up to you.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'm always down for that.
All right. So maybe you spent some of your time on the yacht, like, building up these protocols so that as soon as you landed, they would just, like, go out into the network. So make a computers test.
That I can do real well, usually. 8, 7.
Seven? Okay. Yeah, I think that's sufficient. I think that it's sufficient, but with some like, you can see, like, she squints, and she's like, tongue. Now, can you, she, like, looks at Alpharius. Can you spell that for me? Is it T-U-N
please, two U's?
As ma'am. She says that.
I'm like trying to interrupt her the entire time.
He pushes through, comes over, and looks down and says, kind of just, he just looks at her, looks at the paper, looks at her. He says, now, ma'am, if you could imagine a brain sufficient enough to power, I don't know, an elephant, I want you to put yourself inside of that brain and pretend, just imagine for a moment, that you have the motor functionality skills of a goddamn elephant, and then I want you to sound it out real careful like and produce what you think comes to mind. And then he just like looks at her.
Okay, so you can see she's like trembling a little, and she looks kind of helplessly at you, Higgs, like, oh, what do I do? I'm very intimidated.
He says, go as fast as you need. Patience is not necessarily a virtue at this moment in time. Think of it as a race, but only with your mind as your two little goddamn legs.
She's so confused right now.
I look back at her, and if she looks at me, I say, Mr. Tungus is waiting, ma'am.
All right, she's like, I... And so she like types it in, and maybe you can see, because it's like a holo display, so you can see it like flicker in through the back, and like... there's a list, and Tungus is not on it, and she's just like, and she, like, reloads, she refreshes it, and it flickers a couple of times, and then you see that his name appears on the list, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, sir, these computer systems, you know how these IT folk are, it's just, it's a little slow, I'm so sorry, I have your reservation right here, and she, like, she pulls it up, and swipes over, and kind of, like, drops the reservation onto a keypad, which emits 4 magnetic keys, which she hands out. And while she's doing this, she's talking about the room, telling you about the facilities. You know, we have, 16 bars and 3 barbecue pits in the building. And if you need someone to show you around the local area, you know, we have concierges on service. And while you're doing this, the another person has appeared, and he puts on the table as you're getting sorted out. He puts a wood and metal, it's a shotgun, like a TL-2 or 3 shotgun. And on the side of it, it has like the name of the hotel, like engraved, and a box, like a wooden box that he opens that has like shotgun shells in it. And she's like, and there's your complimentary shotgun, sir. And if you just follow Jeeves, he will take you to the elevators, which will lead you directly to your room. I'm sorry for the delay, Mr. Tungus.
Like, what's your name, Higgins and Eric?
I would think that we don't have names. Right. We're just addressed by our role. So, like, I'm Hype Man. Whatever.
And Eric's the mechanic, right?
Eric's the mechanic.
I kind of look down at the shock and I say, mechanic, if you could pick up this collection of what could be best described as the grubby hands of a civilization of people that probably don't know the best way to not clean their assholes without their own hands. If you could carry that upstairs, that'd be wonderful. I'll pretend to use it and pay them the common courtesy of acting like I'm impressed.
Yes, right away, Mr. Tungus.
He looks at her and says, ma'am, I raised hyperboats. I could have died in the amount of time it took you to figure out my name. If you could go ahead and improve upon that speed next time, I would be most less unimpressed, I suppose, is the best way to put it. And then walks off.
Okay.
As he, like, walks off, I turn around and be like, ma'am, I hope you know who you just upset. I'm sure your manager will...
I'm very upset!
I'm sorry, Mr. Tungus.
She's just, like, got her hands up, but she's like, I'm so sorry. And as you're walking away, a guy in like a crushed velvet, like a purple crushed velvet suit and a giant hat, comes up behind her and he's like, "Sally Ann, who was that?" And she's like, "I that was Brumbo Tungus." And he's like, "Oh, God damn, Brumbo Tungus in my own hotel." And he like he takes his hat off and just like watches you go.
He's even practiced like real stiff, stupid, fucking too important walk.
Yeah.
There you go.
Awesome.
You guys want to take a break? We good?
Yeah,
for
let's
break
take
then?
A break here.
All right, cool. Let's take our third and final break here on this week of Swan Song. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Swan Song as we head into the final hour. Right after this, we'll see you guys then.